भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद्भागवतं फ्रॉम कैंटो प्रेयर ऑफ द प्रहलाद महाराज टू नरसिंहदेव। एवं जनं विपतितं प्रभवाकि कूपे कामाभिकाममनुज प्रवचन्तसङ्गा कृत्वात्मसात्सुरशिना भगवन् गृहीत सोऽहं कथं नु विसृजे तव भृत्यसेवा। एवं जनं निपतितं प्रभवाहि कूपे कामाभिकाममनुय प्रपतन् प्रसङ्गात् कृत्वात्मसात्सुरशिना भगवन् गृहीत सोऽहं कथं नु विसृजे तव भृत्यसेवा। मै डियर् लार्ड् माई सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड बिकॉज ऑफ माई एसोसिएशन विथ मेटीरियल डिजायर्स वन आफ्टर अनदर आई वॉज ग्रेजुअली फॉलोइंग इन द ब्लाइंड बेल्ट फुल ऑफ स्नेक्स फॉलोइंग द जनरल पॉपुलेस बट योर सर्वेंट नारद मुनि काइंडली एक्सेप्टेड मी एज अ डिजायर एंड इंस्ट्रक्टेड मी हाउ टू अचीव दिस ट्रांसेंडेंटल पोजीशन। दैटफॉर माई फर्स्ट ड्यूटी इज टू सर्व हिम। How could I leave his service? That's what the divine days is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki. As we see in the later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme God. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottam Das Thakur says, Thandura charan sevi bhakta sannivas janame janame hai ehi abhilash. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master so that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasadapai Bhaktilata Beach, one can achieve the devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First one should try to please the spiritual master and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Chaitanya Thakur also says, Vishva Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadu. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master. And when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham katam na virjaye tavagrutya sevam. How can I give up the service to my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I am now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of the spiritual master Narada Muni. Om jnana tumirandasya jnana anjana shalakaya chakshuvan nilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Radhaam Dadati Saparanakeham Namavu Mishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nijinamine Saraswati Deve Dauravani Pracharane Nevishesha Adipaschatya Deve Sukharane Pancha Kalpataru Vyascha Rupasindu Vevasa Patitanam Pavanindyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudi Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare What is the sound coming? Hare Krishna. I am happy to be with all of you. And even in your PL to have a program is very special. Even in this semester probably we are having such programs like this, even during the PL. Probably it is very rejuvenating to students to have Krishna Katha along with studies. Because studying all day, 10 hours a day, dries up our heart very much. So here we are reading from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj that he offered to Narasimhadev. You all know the pastime of Hiranyakashipu being killed by Narasimhadev, and Prahlad Maharaj garlanded Narasimhadev. And offering many prayers. So, Lord is asking Prahlad Maharaj, what kind of benediction can I offer you? Let me offer you some benedictions. Because Lord is called as Varadarshabha. Varadarshabha means one who can give you any benediction you want. Like you see the hand of Srimati Radharani. She is keeping her hand like this. It shows that she is just ready to offer us benedictions. So Lord was also ready. Let me offer you some benedictions. But do you know what he asked for? Instead of demanding something from the Lord, here we find Prahlad Maharaj is looking at the Lord's face, but he is remembering how his spiritual master Narada Muni taught him Krishna consciousness in such a way that now he is able to take darshan of the Lord. He was actually feeling such a deep gratitude for his spiritual master. Although with his eyes he was seeing Narasimhadev, with his heart he was seeing his Guru, with a heart full of gratitude. So this is the symptom of a devotee. Although Prahlad Maharaj has become so elevated to such a great state that he could even see Krishna face to face, instead of becoming proud, he is now remembering the Guru, spiritual master who brought him to the feet of Lord Narasimhadev. In the material world, generally, everyone gradually wants to go higher and higher and higher, up in the position. Everyone is ambitious to achieve higher and higher position. And as they achieve higher and higher, they always compare themselves with people equal to them and above them. And once they come to a certain position, then they want to put everyone below their feet. This is the desire everyone has in the material world. They always compare. There is no end to that. Or probably the end is that you have to be number one in the company. Like once when Prabhupada was in Japan to print Krishna book, he went to a company called Dai Nippon Company, famous company. So many, many men came from the Japanese company and then gave their cards to Prabhupada. Practically got a dozen visiting cards from different people. And one of such men came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, he also gave his card to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked him, you know, Prabhupada was telling about his desire to publish the Krishna book through that company. And he asked him about that, man, what are you doing? What is the purpose of your life? So Prabhupada was always in the mood of preaching. Anybody whom he would meet, even when staff reporters would come, sometimes women or men would come, staff reporters, Prabhupada would preach to them as if they were devotees who come to your classroom. So he also asked him, what is the goal of your life? He asked him. So he said, you want to know? And he took all the cards from Prabhupada. And he shuffled all the cards and at last brought his card and put it above, the top of everything, and then he showed to Prabhupada, this is my goal. I want to become number one in the company. So in this way, people are eager to become number one in the world. People want to beat everyone down and achieve superlative so that they can be number one, they can be most famous, they can be most great in everything in this world. But in spiritual life, a devotee always becomes servant of the servant of the servant as he grows in Krishna consciousness. That doesn't mean he degrades himself, but he considers himself a servant of others. This concept is now becoming slowly understood even in material circles. A new concept is emerging called a servant leader in the management circles, which means managers are beginning to realize that we will not be able to get the job done from people simply by authoritative force. And generally, in the company circles, anybody who has a high intellect who can get the job done from people would be very much appreciated by using his plan making and scheduling and Gantt charts, deadline setting, get the job done from people, make people work very intelligently. If there is idle time for this mission and there is idle time for a man, combine them and, you know, get the job done. Don't let anybody be free. But nowadays they are finding that it's becoming increasingly difficult. They're not able to control or manipulate the people. It's becoming very, very difficult. This is the American system of telling people, come with your hands and we will give our heads. We have our head and your hand combined. That means you work and we'll give ideas. Of course, they have tried many things. They have tried American system. This is called as, I think, a terrorist approach, you call it. Then there is Keizen approach in Japan. That they said, you know, why do you come with your hands? Come with your heads also. So let us combine our ideas. But even that also didn't work. They were trying to get job done from people. But somehow, there was something very seriously lacking. They were trying to find out. You see, in the past 200 years of management research, the last 50 years has been full of publications which are focusing on two things. One is called as PMA, they call it Positive Mental Attitude. Another one is PRT, Public Relation Techniques. So how to improve your public relation techniques, like for example, putting up a smile when you see people, shaking hands. When you shake hands, not only you shake hands, you have to touch the right hand with your left hand also. That increases your intimacy, they say. These are all coming in body language. You shake hands and you touch like this, that means the person feels more intimate. Then you should smile when you see, and you speak very politely. And you also should repeat, reflective listening they call it, repeat whatever the other person speaks and confirm your understanding in order to ensure better communication. And also, never hurt the other person's ego. You should know the person's name. You should always call people by their name and all these things. These are all called as PRT, public relation techniques. And also a positive mental attitude, which means you always have a positive attitude in everything you do. In fact, the formula is, if you believe in what you conceive,
then you have accomplished it. Just you have to believe it, that's all. You should believe that you are the hero, you can make it. You can step on the Mars, you can step on the moon. Moon is at your feet. Yeah, the whole world is at your feet. You have to just have a positive attitude. In fact, many students, even among devotees, some of the devotees are asking me this question recently. Even they believe that if you have this kind of attitude, then probably you'll be able to achieve it. In our devotee circle always we say you have to be humble, you have to be very polite, you have to bow down and say servant to the servant. But we see many of the materialists, they have a positive mental attitude and it appears that they are succeeding in life. You see, imagine that, say you want to go to our Mayapur base. You all know where is Mayapur base, isn't it? Near Krishna Kamal Apartments. So you want to go there. Somebody tells you it is near Bharati Vidyapeeth College. So now you are in the lookout of Bharati Vidyapeeth and you want to go to our Mayapur base, Krishna Kamal Apartments. But then somebody gives you a wrong map of Bharati Vidyapeeth College of Koth Road. And then you are searching for Mayapur base there. Will you get it? That is also Bharati Vidyapeeth. There is another Bharati Vidyapeeth I heard somewhere in, what is that? Shanivarpet somewhere. Printing. Printing technology. There is one more Bharati Vidyapeeth. Somebody gives you such a map. Of course, you will find Bharati Vidyapeeth there, but you won't get the Krishna Kamal Apartments there. You may search there. Now, assume that, you are improving your positive attitude. You are hoping, I am going to find it out somehow, Very, very positive mental attitude and searching very vigorously. And improve, and think that you are also improving your behavior in terms of speeding up your vehicle, in terms of searching in all the lanes. So improving your attitude and behavior doesn't help in any way if you have a wrong map. So everyone in this world has a wrong map and they are trying to put up PMA and PRT and all this, positive mental attitude and public relations. This will be useless because the superficial putting up of show of such gentleness will not last for a long time. Because if you make a dog sit in a throne and dress him, bathe him nicely with the costliest of the soaps and put up nice coat, suit, tie, pant, everything, put a cap, everything, shake his hands and make him sit on the throne. And as soon as you come with the leather shoes, immediately he pounce upon the shoes. Baba, baba, he start biting it. So that is his mentality. If he has that mentality, how do you expect him to sit on the throne and become a king? Similarly, in the past 50 years of research of management, this kind of foolish idea of superficially putting up gentlemanly behavior, quick fix, solution of winning the other person, manipulating the other person, and trying to accomplish what you want him to do, and making him dance according to your tune, by putting up the superficial show of gentleness will not help. That has been found by people now. Because what happens is, in the long run, people will observe your behavior. It may be this kind of superficial positive mental attitude and public relation techniques may be helpful when you go to some interview and you can externally make up a show. Even that nowadays they detect people. But it may last for a short while, but if you have to work with people in a company or in a home or any situation, in the long run, if people find that you don't have character, you're devoid of character, they will sense duplicity. And even if you try to do good, that will be seen as manipulative. That will be seen as manipulative. They will see that he is trying to do good in order to achieve something from me. Why is he so good to me? What makes him being so good to me? I know this is a manipulative rascal. And he's trying to be so good to me only because he wants something from me. So, in the long run, we will have to exhibit character, without which all our so-called display of goodness will be very soon exposed, like that fox which fell into the blue dye. You know that? A fox which came out of the forest, it was running in the village and he happened to fall into a bucket that was containing this blue color dye. So he completely fell into that. When he got out, he saw his own body. It was looking as if he was a new species, bluish. And when he ran to the forest, all the animals were fleeing for life. They thought that some new animal has come from some other planet. You know? Then this fox told all the animals. Then he called for all the animals, "Don't fear, I have come from Mars, new planet. I have come to give protection to all of you." So he called for all the animals, including the lion and elephants. They all submissively folded their tails and they sat on the ground. You know, they were all sitting. Yeah, they were all very submissive to him. The whole forest animals came, including the foxes, which looked exactly similar to him. But because he was completely bluish, they thought it's a new person. And then one of the foxes was very intelligent. He said, "He appears to be like me only. And this fellow is putting up a big show." So he told, one day he told all the animals, "Just very soon I'll expose this fellow. He is not from any other planet. He is just an ordinary fox. Although he looks bluish and very powerful, you all don't know. Just wait and see." Then he went behind a tree and started howling. He started howling in a loud voice. Then this fox also had the same nature, howling nature. He also started beginning to howl. And all the elephants and lions, they became so angry with him. "You rascal, you cheated us." They all pounced upon him and tore him into pieces. So, in the same way, we can put up a show like this fox, superficially. But in the long run, without character, we will be very soon exposed to the people. And it is seen. That is why gentleness, humility, compassion, all these qualities, this cannot be achieved like a quick fix without taking shelter of God. Such character can never be achieved. Because, you see, what happens when we, for example, if you don't know piano, can I sit in front of piano and play it? Is it possible? Or for example, you've never touched a cricket bat. Can you play cricket? Can you all of a sudden say, "Come on, just give me the bat and let me, you know, put some 10 sixes and show you how talented I am"? You can't do anything without practice. Like Prabhupada gives the example of Bharatanatyam, you know. If somebody sees some girl very beautifully dancing Bharatanatyam with moving hands, legs very beautifully, "Oh my Lord, it is so amazing." Then you go to the organizer and tell him, "Sir, please kindly give me permission. I also want to go to the stage." What are you going to do there? I want to try that. You think you can try that? Moving your hand and leg, you can try. Who is going to watch it? You need practice for that. Similarly, when it comes to these things, like this kind of talents, we clearly know that, I don't want to become a laughing stock in front of everyone. But when it comes to emotions, many of us, in our own practical lives, you can see we are emotionally very immature children. Emotionally, we are very immature. But it is not easily seen. We may say we have spent 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. We are educated, we are engineers. We have become experienced in companies. I am a 20 years CEO in a company, chief executive officer. But I may be in a very big position, but emotionally I may be a child, immature child. That is why people fall prey to all the urges of the mind, body, like lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion and greed. One may be occupying a big position, but without character one cannot exhibit lofty qualities. It's not possible. Here Prahlad Maharaj we see exhibiting this quality of humility. This is a character. This is not superficial. So what I was telling you about in the modern times is called as personality ethic, they call it. The past 50 years of research is simply teaching us how to become manipulative managers by superficially displaying some qualities in order to win your client and customers. But the previous 150, 200 years of books show that one has to cultivate character. If you cultivate character, and if you are very perfect in character, even if you are incompetent, still people will like to work with you. Because they know that this person is not so good in communication. He is not so good in skills. And he may not be so perfect in his precision and quality. But one thing with him is he will never cheat others. He has a high character. He will lay down his life, but he will never do cheating. Once we win the trust, it is said trust is beyond love. You know that? Trust is even beyond love. And love becomes a subset of trust. That means, when one wins the trust, one also wins the love also of a person. So winning the trust is the greatest achievement in life, in relationships especially. So for that we need character. We need very high character. And the character will not come overnight, because we all come from varied backgrounds. And naturally, what is character? Character means what you do when no one is watching you. That is character. And no one is around you, how you behave. That's character. And if one has character, like integrity, humility, these are all like golden qualities. Here we are finding Prahlad Maharaj exhibiting one such quality, which is humility. He doesn't want to usurp the position of the spiritual master, or want to be famous, want to become famous and be in a state where the whole world will worship him. Rather, we find Prahlad Maharaj here in a very humble position, remembering his guru when the Lord gives his darshan and does not demand anything from the Lord other than service to guru. Actually, this quality of humility is one of the most difficult qualities to be achieved. In fact, the other day when I was going in the car, I just saw an advertisement. What is there in life without a little passion? It was an advertisement. So that means people know that passion is not so good. Passion in general is considered, even the middleists hate passion. If somebody tries to, raise his nose and speak like this, in big tone, so nobody likes it. Even amongst middleists, ego is a big problem. I raise my nose and you raise your nose, and both of us keep raising our nose. How do you think we can live in this world, in any relationship? So they are writing there that what is there in life without a little passion, they are saying. That means they say the little passion is all right. But beyond a certain limit, the passion becomes very difficult to control. And it's not very pleasant to see like that. So in the material world, this ego is a very big problem. It's a serious problem in the material world. Although people know that many times, many big, big industries, they lose customers and clients because of ego problems. So he will think that, let him ask me first, then I will say. And this person says, let him request me first, then I will speak. So this ego is a big problem. You have seen in marriages sometimes, people go to marriages, everyone is in a mood of displaying how big one is. Depending on which car you come to the marriage, people estimate how big you are. Sometimes people borrow Mercedes-Benz and tickets for the marriages. Similarly, women also purchase some nice, beautiful necklace and they go and display it in front of all the other women. Women stand from a distance and say, hey, just look at that. Wearing all that. So prestige, prestige and status, symbol. People want to show this to others. So ego is a big problem in material society. And also where you arrange marriage is important. If you are arranging an Aurora Towers talk, they have swimming pool and, 1 lakh rupees for 2 hours. Marriage, if you want to book that place, because there's swimming pool and everything, all that. So if you arrange it there, indirectly you're showing that I'm not a simple person. I'm a big person. So in the material world, everyone has ego and they want to display that ego in a big way. In the material world, it's a big menace. Ego is a big menace in the material world. It's really, people know that sometimes people display their ego and they feel very sorry later on. Because of my own ego, I lost the friendship of this person. Because of my ego, I lost that, I lost this. People sometimes come to know later that I should not have shown my ego like this. Later on, sometimes when they are alone, they realize that this kind of the display of my ego actually has ruined myself. Sometimes our ego is so big that in order to prove our greatness, we waste 2-3 hours speaking about ourselves. Somebody doubts, no? Somebody, it appears that that person is greater than you. No? Who said that? I will now sit with you and prove to you that my name deserves to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. And I will show you how great am I. I accomplished this, that. And then even after talking 2 to 3 hours, the other person gets bored with you. Why this fellow is bragging about himself so much, you know. And then that fellow says, okay, you have told me something, but still I have little suspicion. Maybe I want to hear from his side also. Then you, this person also becomes your enemy. You think I am not great, so I don't want to talk to you. You are also on his side. I feel like that. Yeah, it's just, what I am telling is a very, you know, blunt and crude form in which I am putting it, but the same things happen in the outside world in a very decent way. These things happen outside, the same things. Like, you know, you go to company situation, in every company, there is one department, another department. I was working in Martin Platt, a British company. So I was in design department. So I was working under the number one man, my manager, first manager. Directly I was working with him. So I have seen these things with my own eyes. I have seen people, everyone thinks, you know, how many followers I have in the department. Like I have 2 people, manager one and manager two. And so they would always compare that, how much influence I have over the people. Whether I have amongst the 25 people in my company, 12 are on my side and 13 are on his side. So I have to get 2 more people on my side. Then, you know, then it will be more than balance for me. So always people, politicians you have seen, they always look for followers, isn't it? How many followers I have? How many people respect me and consider me their leader? Like that. Similarly, I've seen also in our department, if some another department comes with some suggestion or something, and they directly give it to the MD, that department is doing like this, I think we should improve it. You know, they should improve their output or whatever. Then the other department becomes so angry, they'll sometimes go for a literal fight showing their teeth. How can you tell that in our department quality was not good, you know, and you've gone and report to the MD, you know. So this is called as invading the territory, call it. Invading the territory means everyone has a territory. If you invade in the territory, they become wild. Just like, you know, in companies you'll find the sales department is one and the production department is another. They always have invasion problem, invasion of territory. Similarly, individually and collectively, we also have this problem in our lives. You will see that we all have egos in this world. And that ego completely saps our vital energy. It completely sucks so much of valuable time and energy. In fact, many times we speak a lot, we act a lot, we do a lot in order to fan that ego, in order to keep that ego nourished and nurtured. You know, once when Lord Krishna was playing with his covered boyfriends, he came to know that there is some venomous serpent living in the Yamuna. And he went by the side of Yamuna to see. He found many of his covered boyfriends had already dead. And they were dead, lying on the banks of Yamuna. And Krishna just glanced at all of them and raised them to life. And then he came to know that there is a venomous serpent in that river. So he climbed the Kadamba tree. And he went over the top of the river through that branches, one of the branches, and tying his clothes on his waist and beating on his biceps, slapping on his biceps, he jumped into the water. He was a small boy. I think he was, how old was he? He was about 5 or 6 years at that time, I think. Very small. So he jumped into the river. When Kaliya saw, Kaliya was a huge serpent with hundreds of hoods. He was living in the water. In our temple, you will see, in our Kunjaveri temple, you will see Kaliya. So he was in the waters. And Kaliya was wondering, who would dare to enter my territory? Who can enter this zone? How is it possible that somebody enters into the waters? Because it is said Kaliya had such power of poison that, you know, he was all the time letting the poisonous smoke come out of his mouth, and that would actually go into the sky, and any birds that would fly, they would actually, when they would inhale that poison, they would die and they would fall in the river. That was his power. And also, Kalia would show his wives, he had hundreds of snake wives, Nagapatnis. He would show all of them, just see my power. He would eat big, big fishes. And all other snakes also he would eat. And show his wives how powerful he was. And in this way he was filled with ego, living in that river, all alone, being the king of that whole Yamuna. Now came Krishna here, a small boy, blue boy, in the waters. And seeing that, not only he saw him, he saw Vibhi Krishna. All the wives also saw. Now Kalia was feeling very insulted. What will my wife think of me? Just see this small baby, small boy, blue boy is entering my waters. Now in one biting I will kill him. So that nobody will think low of me. And he proceeded towards him. But then Krishna was very powerful. He went to, you know, sting Krishna right on his chest. But then Krishna started, you know, going round and round. He started going around Kalia. And Kalia was moving his neck, not like this. And he was moving, and he saw Krishna was going round and round and round and round. After doing it several times like this, you know, he started getting chakra. He started getting, you know, his head was reeling after some time. And his head was reeling when he got little weak, and immediately Krishna climbed up on his hoods. And he had hundreds of hoods. And Kalia became wild. Because he was feeling very angry for one particular reason, that, you know, if it was another huge snake, very similar to him, he would not have felt so bad. Then big snake and big snake, they would have had a big fight. But here was another snake who was so, I mean, another small boy, just a tiny blue boy, small boy, coming into his zone and attacking like this. He was feeling wild. And then Kalia thought, now I'll raise one of my hoods and beat, because, you know, he was putting his feet on one hood. Then he raised another hood to bite Krishna. And immediately Krishna would keep, you know, his foot on that hood, and then he would raise third hood, and Krishna would beat that, you know. In this, Krishna was doing nice Bharatanatyam, on the top one, takatuku, takatuku, naina play, no? He was playing very beautifully, moving his hands, legs. And all the demigods seeing through the sky, they were showering flowers. And in this way he was so swiftly dancing. And on the other side, Yamuna, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and all the Vajabhadis, they were all weeping and crying. At one time they saw, when Krishna had entered the waters, Kalia had almost encircled Krishna, very tightly in his coils. And all of them thought that now Krishna will be killed. Actually, Vajabhadis, they don't see Krishna as God, like we see. They see Krishna as their lovable object, as a son or as a lover or friend. So they were thinking that now Krishna has finished us. They thought that better we enter the waters and give up our life. But there were dozens of people holding Mother Yashoda, catching her hand and body, not leaving her to enter the waters. And she was weeping tears, and she was falling unconscious. Again she would rise, and again crying tears, she would fall unconscious like that. And Krishna saw their anxiety. And in order to help them give their anxiety, then he climbed up on the hoods of Kalia later. And then in this way, when he was dancing, the more Krishna danced, the Kalia was losing his power. And he started vomiting blood, started vomiting smoke. And this way, smoke and blood came in large quantity from his mouth. He gradually was losing all his passion and all his power. And Krishna never left him. He went on dancing continuously for many, many hours. And at one point of time, Kalia collapsed completely. And he was almost at the verge of death. And all the Nagapatnis immediately came to the surface of the waters. Just like we have mermaid. You have seen mermaid? Mermaid. Mermaid is like half fish and half man or woman. Similarly, there's Kalia, his wives also, Nagapatnis. They are like women and snakes. So they all came. With folded palms, they offered prayers to Krishna. They told Krishna, "My dear Krishna, you have come here to subdue the ego of your husband. And we don't mind, even if he's killed. But we are very happy that your lotus feet that is marked by so many symbols like the flag and the trident and the elephant hood and all that, that divine feet of yours is imprinted on the head of our husband. That gives us a very great joy. And it appears that our husband has become very humble by your dancing on his head. So we pray to you that you spare his life. Because now that he has given up his ego and he has become humble, so please kindly spare his life. And also they said, our husband certainly must have committed the enormous sinful activities in the past. He must have been envious of many people. Otherwise, how is it that he got the snake's body? Only one who is very envious gets a snake's body. Now he has got a snake's body. But at the same time, it is surprising to us that if one has been so sinful in the past, then how can such a person get the dust of your feet on his head? Is it not a contradiction? On one hand, he has done sins, he got a snake's body. But now he is getting the dust of your feet on his head. How can he get? Only a very punyavan, only a very pious person can get your feet on their head. So we can certainly understand that this contradiction can be resolved only by the understanding that it is your causeless mercy upon our husband. This is called as causeless mercy. Causeless mercy means mercy given for no reason. What's the meaning of mercy? Mercy means when something is given to you when you don't deserve it. Then it is called as mercy. Kali never deserved having, you know, Krishna dance on his head. So it's only your causeless mercy that our husband got your blessing in this way. And you have blessed him and you have made him free from his false ego. Indrajit offered many, many wonderful prayers. And after they completed their prayers, then Kaliya again regained his strength. And he also wanted to offer some prayers to Krishna and thank him for sparing his life. And what prayers could he offer? He didn't know much. Of course, at other times he had heard his wives glorifying Krishna many times. But he would tell them, what is this? All the time you are talking of Krishna, don't bore me. It's boring. He would say, I have no time, I'm busy. But still, now that he heard his wife glorifying Krishna with choicest poetry, called as Uttamashta, he repeated those same prayers, whatever prayers his wife said, so the same prayers he repeated. And Krishna appreciated that very much. Acharyas have commented about this pastime and given a deep meaning of this pastime. Acharyas say that in this world, everyone who comes to this world, certainly every living entity in this world is filled with false ego. False ego means to think aham mameti, I and mine. Ahankar, we say, no? What is ahankar? Ahankar means aham aham. I am great. I did it. I accomplished it. I can do that. I will do that. Sometimes you have seen this, Kshatriyas, they take their names, you know. So and so, I, Duryodhana, says that, you know, we'll do that, you know. And if I don't say that, my name will change, you will say. Any of you have taken this oath in your life? If I don't do this, I'll change my name or whatever. Yes, you will change your name when you get Diksha, because you will become humble. That time you will really be forced to become humble. So sometimes people say like that, isn't it? So, this Kaliya represents that egoistic mentality. Kaliya represents the false ego that we all have. Such a false ego makes one think, I am the lord of all that I survey. Like you go to a shop, you know. I went to this MG Road. One man has half of this room size, you know. He has got a shop which is only half this size. You know. Half of this room. He has put a board, proprietor, you know, and his name. But people, when they become proprietor of a small shop like that, half of this size, you know, people become so proud. You know. People, any proprietor of anything, beginning from a tiny proprietor like that up to the level of even Bill Gates. Who joined the company? He identifies the company so much, like, you know, he joins in Bajaj Auto or something. You know. So when I met him once, he never talked of Krishna at all. He started talking of his company so much and started saying, we produce this, we produce that. You know? I told him, enough of it. You know? I don't think you're producing all this from your body. We produce this, we produce that. They identify with the company. They become one with the company. You've seen that? Huh? After some time. This is called as false ego. We start identifying with that. The company gives you a post. Say, I was a senior design executive. In those days, I used to feel so proud, you know, that I'm senior design executive. They gave a card also to me, visiting card, to make you identify with your post. So you take a card, your name is there and card is there, and you feel, as if, you know, you have brought the sun down. You know. You've done something great, you know. Like you get a job in TCS, or you get a job in Infosys, or you get a job in some big company, you know. How you feel? As if some two horns have come, you know. Isn't it? Feel as if you are different from others. Yeah, this is false identification. Does any change happen in you just because you get a job in a big company? Actually they are calling you by that post, but don't think you have that post. It is something offered by somebody. And how long will that post remain with us? This is called as false ego. False ego means mityahankar. That makes us think very great of ourselves. Aham mameti, I and mine. So I used to think I'm a senior design executive now, and they give me a cabin. And I go into the cabin, I have my own computer there. I have a secretary, you know. I have different cupboards given. Along with that comes facilities like they give you stationery, they give you calculator, they give you mobile and all that. So there is mameti. Mama means mine. Aham mameti. I and mine. So just imagine, one fine morning I go to my cabin and I find that somebody else is sitting in my seat. How will it feel? Hi! Isn't it? How can you? So, aham mameti means I and mine. This is very, very strong. And right from a tiny peon, up to the managing director of a company, everyone has it in the company, can see that. And I was telling my friend who was identifying with the company, because you identify with it so much. Very well. So you can see this called as abhinivesh, absorption. Absorption in the material consciousness. We too much identify ourselves with such a thing. So we have to contemplate and think for a while. That what am I? What is this body? It's a perishable body. This body will perish after some time and the atma will go out and take up another body. And in that body, we don't know what body are we going to get. They're changing body. We don't think in the long term. In short term, something is offered to us. And, you know, like that boy used to show me, you know. And I told him, are they offering you a good pay? And all? I asked him, you know, how is the pay and all? Yeah. And he started becoming a little insulted. He said, you thought it's an ordinary post, you know. You know. But this is a very, very important job that is offered to me. And then he removed his pager. In those days they had pager. Now mobile has come now. So he showed me, see, they have given me even a pager. So he was very proud of his pager. But while he was talking to me, only the pager call came. They're making sound, he had to rush to the neighborhood telephone somewhere. So we used to call this pager as a fourth mode. Fourth, you know the three modes? Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and pager is the fourth mode. Because just as these three modes bind you, pager also, you cannot even pass tool properly. Go to the latrine, turn, turn, it'll ring. The night, 11 o'clock, you're sleeping, they call you. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, company calls you. Tell you, come on! Like one boy was working in this call center, I think, you know. Any time call will come to him. Any time. He was working in Tolnaga. You know, in Tolnaga they have this computers, you know. Any time call will come. They give him this pager, and pager, any time they can call you. So is pager an advantage or is pager a disservice, having a pager? You know? So if you never had the pager, probably you could have had a better sleep. Isn't it? So sometimes we think this post position and the pager and the mobile that is given to us is a company has given me freely, you know. But why company is giving you? To catch you at a time when you don't want to be caught. That is what they've given you. They know that otherwise you will escape. So now they can catch you. And company gives you a warning while giving the mobile. You should never put it off. Isn't it? Yeah. So this mityahankar, false ego, makes us identify with the possessions also that comes along with the post and position. Aham and mameti. It's very, very strong. So the kaliya represents such a false ego, mityahankar, that comes in our life. And as he was living in the Yamuna all alone, with all the other snakes who were all his wives. Similarly, we are living just as the Kaliya was different from his wives. He was a male and all of us were subordinate to him. So in the same way, we are all subordinated with many people. Like when I became president, my god brothers in Bombay, they told me, it is very dangerous for you. You are going to Pune now. I came in 95 to Pune. So they were telling me that if you are living in Pune, all of us will be subordinate to you. And you are the first person going to Pune now to preach. And you will be surrounded by yes men. You know, yes men means everyone salutes you. Yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. People salute anything you say because nobody can dare to tell you that you are wrong. People are fear to tell you. Because they know that if you go and tell a senior person that you are wrong, immediately he'll feel insulted. He may react. So people have fear sometimes. How can you tell a, even if you see apparently something wrong. Actually, if a person who is very senior, the more we become senior, we have to become servant leader, as I was telling before. That we should be ready to hear some suggestions given by others. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, a king should not be always giving advice to his subordinates. But sometimes the king should also hear from the queens and the ministers and his children and from other people also. By hearing from them, they will also feel included and they will feel very nice and warm. And they will feel a kind of very friendly nature with the king, even in the ancient times. In the same way, when we are put in a superior position, we should always be in a mood of consulting others and even subordinates, asking like that. Then they will feel free to tell us. Just like if I have a carbon black on my nose and I'm moving about here and there, you know. So everyone will be laughing at me, isn't it? But if somebody is my friend, they will, even if he is my subordinate, they will tell me that, Prabhuji, there is a carbon black on your nose. You have to wash it. So somebody, my superiors told me that you are going to Pune, you will be all alone and people may not tell you. But they said, you come to Bombay time to time and we will correct you where you go wrong. So you should also have association of equals. And you should have association of seniors to you. So when I'm in Pune, then I'm like a very senior devotee and everyone bowing down to me and everything. But when I go to Bombay, I'm one amongst, you know, 20 seniors or 15 seniors. So I feel very nice when I go to Bombay because I see that I also have people who will scold me. I also have people who can find fault with me. And that way I can, you know, get my diseases cured in the heart. Otherwise, what will happen? All the time you are getting respect and people saluting you and obeying your orders. Then it may probably not, help us to become advanced in spiritual life. So they used to tell me like that. So just as if I am all alone, just like the Kaliya, if Kaliya, you see, he was in the waters with his wives and all wives, they were subordinate to him. Whatever the husband says, yes sir, yes sir, they will say like that. But here he found Krishna entering. So Acharya gave this example. If we allow Krishna to enter our hearts, of course, we never wanted Krishna in our lives so easily. Some other Krishna has come into our lives. So when Krishna first comes in, by our chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So chanting is very difficult in the beginning because, like one man recently in one of our meetings he was telling, sir, I watch cricket almost 8 hours a day sometimes during the test matches. And you know, with a wide open mouth and my big eyes, I continuously watch. I even forget my lunch. It is so enlivening to see cricket. But when I take mala in hand, even before finishing half the mala, I go to sleep. And I said, why is it like that? Why I cannot chant Hare Krishna? So, that is because our heart is like Kaliya. Kaliya doesn't want Krishna in Yamuna. He says, Krishna, you get out. How can you enter my area? Similarly, when we chant, our mind becomes like Kaliya. What is this? You know, so many lifetimes you are enjoying, doing all kinds of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, you know, smoking, boozing, eating, drinking, merrymaking, everything you are doing. All of a sudden you are calling Krishna's names. You know, get out. Take out Krishna's name. He doesn't want. That is why in order to avoid Krishna, what he does to you, it knocks you down. Phew. Hare Krishna, knocked down. We don't want Krishna in the heart. But then somehow, We have some sincerity, little bit sincerity. Then Krishna enters the heart. And your mind will give you so many excuses not to become a devotee. You will see that. You will see that. We will say that your friends will ridicule you. Why are you going to this Hare Krishna? And then you will feel very uneasy. Better be in the good books of my friends. See, this is also a kind of inferiority complex. Because your sense of worth comes from your friends recognizing you as a good man. Your sense of worth doesn't come from your own free will, your own self. You don't have your own self-esteem. Your sense of worth comes from others. See, if you are borrowing sense of worth from other people, you can never become a great man in life. Your sense of worth should come from the self itself. Like, see, Gandhi, when he was called to the meeting by the Viceroy, everyone was in coat and suit and tie and, you know, tip-top dress. And they were called to the assembly, Parliament assembly. Everyone went. And Gandhi was the only one wearing a dhoti and no kurta also, just one angavastra. He's putting with a shaven head. He went to the assembly. This is the meaning of a daredevil. Because he never borrowed the sense of worth from others. Unfortunately, people who have inferiority complex, they always think, I'm going to the Hare Krishna program, what will my friends think? My friends are watching, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna without anybody's knowledge, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They are fear, You're very fearful of our friends. Once, in my early days, Premnidhi Prabhu used to take me in the bike, in the Bharatiya Vidyapeeth area. Premnidhi Prabhu was a daredevil. He used to take me. And I thought that later on also I can go in the same way. Even, this was in 96. 98, 99, another time I got on, I came by bus, and one of the boys was waiting outside the Bharatiya Vidyapeeth Art Center. Said, come, let's go together. So I was walking with them. So when we came up to the Bharatiya Vidyapeeth College area, this boy was becoming too restless. I found him becoming too restless. I said, any problem? You know, feeling any problem? Like that he was feeling kind of restlessness, And I asked, what's the problem? No, Prabhuji, I'm feeling that, I haven't arranged anything for the program. Can I go and arrange? And he asked me. I said, what big arrangement has to be made, Just when we go, we have to sweep the floor and just put a blanket or something to sit. No problem. And boys also don't come in time anyway, We can go and arrange. But he was too restless, He said, no, Prabhuji, I think I want to go ahead and you can come later, He said. Then, later on I went to room and after the program when I talked to him, he was weeping and all, he was saying, Prabhuji, I'm feeling uneasy to walk with you, he said. Why? Because, all the students, all the, opposite side, my classmates, my girls were coming, were in my class, they were all walking in the opposite side and I was feeling fear, to be associated with a sadhu like you, Now you are clean shaven and walking with in this dress. Although I know that you have got M.Tech and all, still, the girls don't know that you have M.Tech. This is real problem, Because the sense of worth comes from others, You are not confident in life, The whole sense of worth comes from others. So in this way, you see, we feel uneasy because we are borrowing the sense of worth from others. If you are borrowing sense of worth from others, you will be tossed. You will be tossed in life. You will see that. You will be tossed from pillar to post in life. But if you have your own sense of worth coming from within, when God gives you confidence from within, then you can really walk like Gandhi was bold. You can be bold like that. So Kali was in the waters, in the same way, in our heart also our mind starts giving varieties of justification why he doesn't want to become a devotee. My friends will not like me becoming a devotee. My parents will not be happy if I become a devotee. Our parents are stopping me. Or I have to study, I have to get good marks. Who said you shouldn't get good marks? If you are a devotee, who said you can't get good marks? But mind will give variety of justification to avoid becoming a devotee. This is exactly like Kali are trying to avoid Krishna. Because we have our false ego. We want to maintain our materialistic life. We don't want to come out of that. But Samara there of Krishna enters. What does Krishna do? Samara will continue chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, as Krishna goes round and round, head of Kaliya. So he will bewilder our ego and thoroughly smash it by climbing on the top. And once Krishna climbed on the top of Kaliya, it is like Krishna dancing on our false egos. A stage will come in your spiritual life where you will find you will be torn between the two. Whether I should maintain my materialistic friends and maintain my materialistic activities of smoking, boozing and all such activities. Or I should lead the life, pure life as devotees are leading. Isn't it? We are torn between the two. This is the reason sometimes boys join the base and they leave it after some time. It has happened also in other bases. They join, they leave for 1 week and they run away. My lot is too much. Base life, every morning up and, it's a high purity zone. Base is like fire. So living in the base is not an easy job. So sometimes you will find, you all have had this experience torn between the two. Like, one side of you tells you that I want to become pure like the devotees. I want to lead a clean life. Another side of the mind tells us that, I want to continue my life like everyone else is doing in the world. But you see, it is not just a choice. After some time you will see that there is no better thing than becoming a large devotee. You will see that. Because our mind is such that the mind has the nature of, mind has several natures. Like one nature of the mind is sankalpa vikalpa. Sankalpa vikalpa means accepting and rejecting. The very same things which you are hankering for, after some time you will reject them. Just like, somebody offers you a big birthday gift, nicely packed with the color paper and everything, ribbon and everything. And mind is like, lusty. You want to tear the page and see what is inside, You are so eager, and you feel little shy to do it in front of everyone. Immediately, see what is there. After everyone goes, immediately you take that gift you open the ribbon and you remove that cover and you see. And you find, okay, it's a book. It's giving you some gift book. You open it and see. And then you throw the book in the corner. And then the eagerness to see that book goes away. Isn't it? We all have had this experience. Whenever a gift is packed, you are very eager to open and see what is there. After it goes away. Similarly also, if somebody is newly wedded, then new marriage means new young couple. There's a lot of eagerness. People who are not married, they are thinking, after marriage, I'm going to get something very special. They're looking forward for the time, engagement day and marriage day and everything. And then after marriage, you find 1 or 2 years, okay, it becomes the relationship. Probably it may even turn to fight also. What is because of the, used up thing like that. Similarly, everything in life, after some time, what happens? It loses the charm. Sankalpa, because same things which you were attracted to, now you reject it. You will all have this experience in the mind. Everything. Like aeroplane flight, he was telling, Prajavihap was telling. He said, first time when I traveled in an aeroplane, I was feeling very proud, he said. Because I was telling people that I'm going by flight, Today I'm going to London and the day after I have to reach Canada, I was telling different things to people. You feel very, you all can see this. Vinayap is writing Jerry Toffel. There is a kind of subtle pride that comes inside, I am writing J.R.E. Toffel, I am going to America. I can tell my friends that, I will be joining some university there, I will be joining, I am trying for Massachusetts and I am trying for this, trying for that. I am joining Cornell, I am joining Illinois, and I am joining Harvard or whatever, Even while saying that, you feel such a deep sense of pride that comes within. But nowadays, he travels in planes so much, and he gets such jet lag. Jet lag? Jet lag means when you travel from one country to another. it's night there also, it's night here also. He said, now I am fed up with traveling in planes. He travels so much. In fact, some of the ISKCON devotees travel the most. They have got awards for traveling most in planes. Some of our Maharajas. Some of our Swamis. They say in the Indian Airlines as well as Jet Airways, they give a gift for those who travel the most. So some of our Swamis have got that prize. They travel morning in Dubai and evening in another country. They travel to 3 countries in one day. 3 programs they give like that. So he said, now I am so fed up 20 years ago, what I considered to be giving me so much pride, now I am fed up with it. If I have to travel by flight, my Lord, I hate it, he said. So this is sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. Our mind accepts and it rejects also. Absent a movie also, isn't it? Before you go for a movie, how do you feel? That even if there, after you watch it, maybe once, twice, thrice, that's all finished. Now, no more. Same thing. Music also is like that. Everything in this world, that's the nature of the mind, accepting and rejecting like that. Similarly, mind also has another nature, that is to desire, which is the most dangerous thing, the mind. It always desires many, many things of this world, hankering. That hankering is such a strong thing, deep-rooted in the mind. And most unfortunately, the mind hankers for things which it should not desire. Like Ravana desired to have Mother Sita. Similarly, our mind also becomes like Ravana. It desires many times wrong things, which one should not desire. So that is why when you come to Krishna consciousness, you will see, by chanting Hare Krishna, your mind becomes pacified, calm. That hankering goes off after some time. That hankering for things of this world. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. That madness. So, the hankering goes off. Like one of my friends who used to come in 96, he was chanting some 8 rounds that time. So, after he was in chapter business. After he married, a couple of years passed, and I didn't see him coming regularly. And I met him and called him once, called him on phone, and he came. And he said, he was having a good business. Monthly he was earning something like 30,000-40,000 rupees he was earning in software business. Then when I called him temple and talked to him, his eyes were like red balls of fire, and face was completely sunken, and asked him, what's happening to you? He said, I've stopped my chanting and all. I asked, why? He said, my wife said, we should have a good security for our family, Until you get the security, keep your Hare Krishna thing aside. After 4-5 years, you can always become a devotee again. I said, what is the security? Financial security. Financial security. How much? Prabhuji, I had planned about 20 lakhs, 10 to 20 lakhs to save in the bank. And then we can lead a peaceful life. But my wife says I should earn 5 crores. She set a target for me. He said, we earn 5 crores and after that, you do whatever you want. She has told me. But then if he's earning 40,000 now, monthly, how much you will get in a year? 4.8 lakhs, isn't it? Yeah. So in 1 year, if he gets, say, even if he is able to save 4 lakhs in that, so how many years will it take for him to get 5 crores? 25 into 4, 100 years. It's going to take him 100 years. By the time he will be dead and gone. Resigning in this state. Or even if you assume that he becomes a bigger businessman, in 100 years he achieves it, in 50 years also, then life is finished. So, of course, his sense of worth came from his wife. So he had to work like that. Of course, later on he again began 16 rounds. Great difficulty. He was trying to bring his wife to Krishna consciousness and all. So the point is that the hankering is so great in this world for money, for name, for fame, for prosperity. Hankering is very, very great. And if the hankering goes beyond a certain limit, ambition turns into greed. If you are not a devotee, your ambitions will not remain ambitions. Ambitions will be fueled by greed. And the greed is burning. Greed burns you out totally. But ambition is not condemned. But greed is condemned. We'll see that. But mind will become specified when one chants Hare Krishna. So really when Krishna was going round and round with Kaliya, and Kaliya was rotating his head, and he got tired, isn't it? And when Krishna climbed on the top, in that way, Krishna became prominent. Similarly, we can make Krishna prominent in our hearts. And then what if Krishna pounded on his head, boom, 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 and removed all the smoke and poison. Similarly, we will see that after we become devotees, in the early stage in devotional life, probably you were like some people, and they enter the temple, they will bow down to Prabhupada, they will bow down to all the pictures one by one, any picture in the temple hall, they will bow down to Bhagavatam. Any devotee they say, they see in the temple, they will bow down to their feet. Prabhuji's, Mataji's children, everyone, they bow down to everyone. Touch everything. They'll touch everything and keep on their head, Whatever. They are so respectful. They've seen that in the early This is the early stage. You can easily understand this is the neophyte devotee. Let him spend 2 years, we will see what happens. And then after he spends 1 to 2 years, then he will raise his nose. Now I am also a devotee now. After some time. Isn't it? And then he will see all the bad qualities coming out in a devotee. All the smoke and blood which was coming out, you will see that. He becomes angry with devotees. He becomes proud. He breaks relationships with devotees. Because all the vomit, blood and vomit comes as you keep on chanting more and more. You will see that we exhibit many qualities for which we regret later. Like that. But one should continue to chant and allow all the blood and vomit to come out. All the anarthas will come. Just like a room, you know, if you don't clean this room for 10 years, it will, all the dust will settle on the ground. But then you take a jadu and start cleaning, you know. And then everyone starts coughing. Everyone starts coughing. And then people scold you, no, who told you to sweep the floor, you know. Is it a better idea not to sweep? So chanting is like sweeping. If you chant Hare Krishna, all the bad things, the dust rises. But then there is an assurance that when the dust rises after some time, the dust will be gone. Once you collect all the dust in one corner of the room and you throw it out, then the room becomes really clean. That's why it's called as Cheto Darpana Marjanam. So, as devotees, we all should endeavor our best to deal with others. In our dealings with devotees, we have to be polite. Like I went to some other bases. Like one devotee was telling there that probably sometimes our boys, you know, you tell them to do something, some of them say that I will do and they don't do. Some of them, they beg, you know, Prabhuji, please, you know, don't, why you only catch me only always, you know. Why don't you tell that other devotee, you know. Of course they are polite, but they are escaping from service. But there are others who say, no, I won't do it. You know, directly, you know, I cannot do it. Bluntly they say like that. You know. Sometimes you have to push them to do a service. So I was telling them that this is not a very good tendency amongst devotees. Amongst devotees, we should never have to coerce or cajole devotees to do a service. Devotees should be very smooth. Relationships should be very, very smooth amongst devotees. Very voluntarily devotees should come forward to do service. If everyone is voluntarily doing service, then there is no problem of some service remaining. Just like in Vedic society, what happens? Everyone is taught to give, not to take, but to give always. So today is your birthday. You know what they do on birthdays in Vedic life? Like when Krishna had his birthday, then Mashtami, you know what they do? Do you think on birthday they receive gifts? What they do? They give gifts. If it is your birthday, you have to give gifts. People will come and catch you. You have to give gifts to hundreds of people. If the more the friends you have, the more you have to give. That is Vedic life. Krishna was told by Mother Yashoda, you should give cows and calves to the brahmanas, you know, you should give gold and everything you should give to other people. Vedic life is always giving. Imagine that, you know, like in your house there are six birthdays, and all the birthdays are giving to poor, giving to people. So Vedic life means giving life. That's why in society there is no poverty at all in Vedic life. But Kali Yuga life means taking. Even if you have lakhs of rupees, if you are a Karodapati, then you also expect people coming and giving you in crores, gifts. People are always taking, mode of taking like that. So in the same way, amongst devotees, the relationship should be very, very smooth. Kaliya became devoid of all the blood and poison and smoke and everything. And he became thoroughly humbled, totally humbled in Krishna. Similarly, the chanting of Hare Krishna is going to act in our heart and clean our hearts. And will become completely pure. And you will find that the bad qualities that were present in you are gradually going away. And the mind becomes calm and pacified. And the anger, the lust, the pride, we become very watchful of our own paradigms. Being watchful means, instead of looking through the lens how the world is, you are looking at the lens. Oh, this is the lens I was wearing, with which I was looking at the world. But it's not that there is only one lens. I can also take his lens and see through his lens. That is called a paradigm shift, we call it. That means I have one paradigm of looking at the world and he has another paradigm of looking at the world. Why not? Why not there be hundreds of paradigms? Paradigm means outlook to life or world like that. So that's why that the biggest problem in life is two people having two different opinions, having a clash. Go to any company, the top to bottom, the problem is only this. Two people with two, both of them are seeing from two different paradigms. One fellow is seeing from here, another fellow is seeing here. So he feels his idea is best, he feels his idea is best. You see this kind of problem everywhere. Like once, when we were going in a train, some children were yelling and crying and making a lot of noise, 3-4 children, and the father was also sitting. Children were making so much noise. And we were sitting in the train and we were really feeling upset. Because the sadhus were feeling, you know, how can we, you know, whether we can shout at the children. You know? But my neighbor who was there, he really became totally restless. He shouted at this man, "Do you have any common sense? Just look at your children, they're making so much noise. Throwing this and throwing this and tearing the paper and crying all the time. And why don't you control them?" And that man, that old man, I mean, he was, he said in a grave voice, he said, "I wish that they don't make this kind of noise. What can I do? How can I control them? Just a couple of hours ago, they lost their mother in the hospital. She died just a couple of hours ago. And I am unable to pacify them. They are thinking of their mother and crying all this." And as soon as we all heard it, even the man who scolded at them, you know, he also became very softened. And he said, "Really? Your wife passed away? I'm sorry, I never knew that. I never knew that your children are crying because of that. I'm very sorry." And he asked, "How can we help you?" Then he got some ice cream and he gave to the children, you know. So they became pacified. Just in one moment, the whole paradigm shifted, you see. So he had a notion that, you know, he was shocked. So the same thing happens among devotees. Sometimes you feel, this devotee, this person is a lazy bum. He never does any service. We always label devotees with many names. He is irresponsible. He is a lazy bum. He is a arrogant fellow. And he is a fellow who always escapes. And he is a fellow who rebels and things like that. But then if you see from that paradigm, you will find why they could not do. There may be some deep reason. So we should always be ready to accept this fact that people have different angles of vision and people are unique. Everyone is unique. There are not even two snowflakes which are having a similar orientation in this large creation. There are no two grains having similar orientation. Everyone is unique in this world. So we are also unique, every one of us. And we have different outlooks to life. And we have to understand this fact and be tolerant, be patient in dealing with devotees. And that will happen as we chant the holy names and we progress in Krishna consciousness. We will see that all our poison and smoke will come out. Just as Kaliya was subdued by Krishna, our ego will also become subdued. And it is said, when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's head, Yatakata was dancing Bharatanatyam, at that time his wives were glorifying Krishna. That was the first time he heard the class given by his wives very attentively and very submissively. It is said, any Bhagavatam class enters your ears and enters your heart only if you are submissive. If you are not submissive, you will not benefit much. If you are in an arrogant mood or rebellious mood, no class will benefit us. So Kaliya had heard so many times from his wives about Krishna, but he heard like this and it went off through another ears. But this time, for the first time, when he was being, his ego was being tortured by Krishna, that time he heard every prayer spoken by his wives very attentively and he could repeat it so nicely. Every prayer he repeated later on, like that. In this way, Kaliya was not killed, but he was humbled. In the same way, we don't have to give up our ego. We don't have to kill our ego. You know, many Mayavadis and impersonalists, they say, you have to kill the ego. This is their formula. Ego can never be killed. Ahankar can never be killed. But Nitya Ahankar has to be made into Satya Ahankar. The false ego has to be turned into true ego. What is false ego? To think, I am boss, I am great, I am this, I am that. But true ego means, I am servant of Krishna. Identity is not lost, but identity is transformed. We have to give up bad identity and assume the right identity. Just as the Kaliya became humbled. And in this way, Kaliya became Krishna's servant. instead of glorifying Krishna. In this way our heart, our false ego also can be given up, and we can also become completely purified, and we can achieve this great quality of humility. So humility is courage. Inferiority complex is cowardice. Humility is courage. At the same time, putting a false show of being great is also cowardice. That is why I was telling in the beginning of the class today that this kind of positive mental attitude and public relation techniques which are superficial, putting a plastic smile and a cardboard face, these things will not help us to become successful in the long run. Because people don't see what you do, but people check what you are. What you are is character. What you do is personality ethic. The personality ethic is superficial. Character ethic is the core. So practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna, it brings out the core character out, just like a volcanic eruption, you know, brings out the lava outside. Like, you know, when lava comes out, like that, volcano explodes, and then the lava comes and spreads on the top of the mountain. They say that this lava is extremely nourishing and rich in manure. And it is a very great fertilizer. Similarly, the core qualities that we all have, like humility, simplicity, purity, such qualities like trustworthiness, all these characters, all these things are there inside us. And chanting Hare Krishna actually brings that out, those qualities out. And then, once these qualities come out, a person will be totally transformed. I have seen boys, 2 years ago, I have seen them, you know, smoking and boozing and going in the bikes with girls all the time. Going in bike, going to the market, going to movies. All the time absorbed in varieties of bad qualities. And some of them would come and cry. They would say that, you know, I'm unable to control my smoking. And my girlfriend is taking me for a ride. Actually, he takes her for a ride and then she takes him for a ride. In this way, they were practically a slave of their senses. Totally a slave. And 2 years later, unbelievable, a total transformation. Boys who had long, hippie kind of hairs, big funk and everything, you know, they have little hair. And you find them, you know, wearing tilak and wearing dhoti kurta, chanting 16 rounds, and a blissful face, you know, kantimala and everything, totally transformed. So my faith in ISKCON increased as I came across such youths. In fact, such youths become better devotees than people who come from pious families. Some people come from pious families, you know. They will say sometimes, you know, kumkum chanda and everything, you know. They wear and they come to college. You can never make them understand Krishna. Sometimes, you know, they are extremely, apparently very pious. They claim to be very pious also, but then you find that the Krishna consciousness never enters their ears. But on the other hand, in our moment especially, we have people, you know. I have had boys, you know, when I teach IIT, coming with one this thing, earring, you know, like Michael Jackson or whatever, one earring, you know, and having a funk and all that. They become big devotees later in our movement. Some of them become biggest devotees, people like that. It can transform people totally. Altogether it can transform people. It can bring out the real character that is within us. And outside, you go to managers in the company. I personally take leadership seminars for the colleges and companies. So I go, I see that people are hankering. Like one Professor Chopra came to me, he was telling, he's the director of I2ID. So he was telling me, you see, I can give 50 classes on leadership, but I want you to come and teach your boys self-managing leadership. You teach them how to bring out that character that is within their heart. That is something that is not cup of my tea, he said. I can't teach this. I just don't understand the subject. So he has called devotees to come and teach this to people. Because he says that this personality ethic which has been passed, it is now overthrown by management researchers. They say that this is useless, this is superficial. We have to make people live a life of integrity and true principles. Otherwise in the long run they will lose trust. So he was telling. And all of you as devotees, Hare Krishna devotees, you have an extra edge over your other college mates. Because here is a place where your true character is brought out through simple methods. by chanting Hare Krishna, being genuine, taking prasada together, singing together, and like, you know, in this alpha level and bajaj atandal, they call many people for coming and teaching management lectures. One such lecturer had gone to see how they do. You know, they tell the managers that you become too, you know, all the time sitting in the computer and you become too serious. So there should be some lightness. So they were telling them to laugh, you know, and opening the mouth and laughing, trying to laugh. And after some time they told all of you, you know, stand up and you should become like children, you should dance, you should raise your hands and dance, you know. They were moving hands like this, you know, moving hands and they were dancing. So I was laughing to myself seeing all this, because they are doing these things artificially without knowing that in Vedic life these things are made as a part of your life only. Like every morning for Arati you raise your arms, you dance for the Lord. And there is so much humor to be enjoyed, fun to be enjoyed in the company of devotees. So we have such a spiritual life that makes so light, makes our heart so light. So they are trying to become stress-free by so many artificial methods. But we have these things inbuilt in our lives, in our spiritual life. And they also do meditation, or sometimes they sit calmly. They try to calm down their mind. So all of you are very fortunate, because even before you became managers in companies, you have something that you are learning now, which you can teach your other colleagues when you take up jobs in companies like that. Because the Vedic life does not just focus only on the soul. It's a complete program for the body, mind, and the soul. It keeps all the three things healthy. Whereas the modern times, it's simply oriented towards money making and sex life. They don't know anything. Because of it, they're torturing themselves and they're trying to find out ways, some quick fix ways by which they can make their life better. So here we see Prahlad Maharaj exhibiting such humility. He is saying that I was born in a, he says, now I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. That means he says the common people are blind to Krishna consciousness and they are going in the path of destruction, all the people in the world. And I was also seeking their company. I was also doing all nonsense. The way to hell is very broad, but then it takes you down deep. And the way to God may be narrow, probably single file. But once you enter the kingdom of God, you never come back. So Prahlad Maharaj is very grateful to his guru for pulling him out of bad association and putting him in the company of devotees of God and helping him to see God face to face. And he is feeling a deep sense of gratitude. And all of you, at least in the current moment, you have become well situated in your life. You are having the company of devotees. You are performing activities that are leading you to kingdom of God, a very pure life. So stick to this type of life. Don't be knocked off. Don't be knocked off by Maya, by succumbing to the temptations offered by Maya. In order to avoid such temptations and succumbing to temptations, we have to be in company of devotees always. We have to read Prabhupada's books, we have to eat prasad and be in company. We have to be closely knitted with devotees. Then it is very easy to live in this world a very pure life. After some time, you'll become so strong that even if you don't have company of devotees, even if you are living far away, you will make people into devotees. You'll be able to transform their lives. Just like Prabhupada went from India to America and preached and made devotees. Like that. So, for this we have to have gratitude to Prabhupada for giving us this knowledge in the form of Bhagavatam and many, many other books. If you're always grateful in spiritual life to all those around you, like there are so many devotees around you, if you are grateful to them for giving the company that they are giving you, then you will never be wild with them. You'll never find fault with them. But if you are taking them cheaply, then we will not gain much benefit. In our bases I'm traveling all over Pune, I'm seeing that wherever we put youth together, because youth means our intellect is very stout and strong, our ego is very big. So naturally there are problems between devotees, because living together is not an easy joke. And people have to come, and even in a small family, husband, wife and child, there are so many ego clashes between them. There are fights. Again, they may become united. But when we live together, devotees means our life is life with a difference, where we should learn to live in a mood of cooperation for the ultimate mission. of Prabhupada. We are coming together for that. So we have to put aside our false egos for the sake of fulfilling the mission of Prabhupada. And we should tolerate one another. And we should be patient with one another. That's why this is actually called as proactive behavior. Proactive means, let me find out how I can improve myself so that the other person changes his behavior. If I want to change you, what should I do? Let me change myself. Probably he is behaving like this because of my disbehavior. Let me change this behavior so he also changes like that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Prasad is ready? Can bring Prasad? So while we are taking Prasad, if somebody has questions they can ask. They can sit like this. Please, kindly sit like this.